Awesome. Well, appreciate your time coming over here. We're both vendors at this National RV Park Conference. So we're trying to talk to a lot of park owners here. And so we're sharing booths neighboring. So I appreciate you coming over here.
Yeah,
and,
of course.
And so we'd like to hear more about like what you do and kind of how you can serve our RV park owners. Maybe somebody's listening is trying to build one for the first time, or they want to expand it. Like, I've heard about yurts, but here's a pro that maybe share some little nuggets that might push them over the edge to call you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love that. So, I mean, we have our client base is across the board, right?
Imagine.
We've got ones that are using it in their backyard just for an extra space. We've got one, and for whatever else they want to do. We've got ones that are using it as guest houses, Airbnbs. We have a lot of full-time clients that live out in the middle of nowhere off-grid in our yurts as well. But
awesome.
Where we spend a lot of our focus is obviously in the, you know, RV, glamping, hospitality industry.
Right.
With that, when it comes to specifically RV parks, where I see the most benefit from our product, it's just that at every RV site I've ever talked to, except maybe the really big ones, there is always a few sites where they know they have lower occupancy on average
yeah.
than everyone else
yeah.
or every other site, whether they're right by the dumpster, they're right by the entry and no one wants to be there, whatever it is. And so when they come to us or we go to them, that's kind of the first thing I start with. Like, what's the strategy for your park? What are you looking to change?
Mm-hmm.
Are you focused on increased occupancy? Is it increased, you know, cost per night? What's the focus? And really, we can zoom in on that because with our yurts, we have different sizes, anywhere from 12 feet in diameter up to 30 feet.
Oh, shit.
Typically, for RV sites, we're looking at our 16 foot, 20 or 24,
right?
Depending on the layout. You've already got a pad there. You have electrical, water, you know, sewage, all that. So it's a matter of you put a yurt there, get rid of the crap site, and now you're charging, depending on what you put on the inside, anywhere from on the super low end, like 100 a night.
Yeah.
And on the super high end, like 600 to 700 a night.
Right.
And so really like that alone, when you're looking at your typical RV site, maybe 65 to 100, depending yeah. on where you are, it's a really easy way to one, increase your nightly rate, increase your occupancy. And if you've only been an RV park historically, then you've only advertised yourself as an RV park.
Yeah.
Now you're opening up a whole new avenue of glamping, yurts, like, look what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just another
more
amenity.
Attention, more eyeballs.
Exactly.
Know, so it definitely doesn't hurt. So, yeah, that's pretty interesting. Cause that's what I love about parks is you can always pivot, adjust, shape, change, whatever
yeah.
you need to. And so, like, hey, we already have this gravel pad. We got a little extra room in this corner. You know, we're not reaching our goals. Let's freaking put a yurt here. Get it on all the OTAs and all the different platforms, and let's get this occupancy up.
So, exactly.
So that's pretty neat. It's got to be just simply just tying into your sewer, you know, tying in your water and making it attractive, of course. But I love that idea of just repurposing it.
Yeah.
You know, because well, I had four parks, and every one of them is not what I thought it was going to be, and I had to pivot.
every time.
Adjustments. Like, all right, well, this isn't working, so what else can we be doing?
Yeah. I have a plan means I will change my plan.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, one of our parks, too, I was just thinking about them. They're in Oregon. I'm blanking on the name right now. But they put some yurts on there, and it was not to replace RV sites, but they have a lot of long-term renters there.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them more in their retirement age.
Long-term sites.
Yeah. But what they end up using them for is they put them on there for families. Like, you've got grandma and grandpa that live at the park. Well, family wants to come visit. They don't have an RV or there's overflow.
Okay.
Now there's a glamping unit there that they still have open to the public, but the families of their long-term rentals get first dibs.
So a lot of the existing clientele base is like, hey, we can use that for my family that wants to come visit.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Because yeah. it's stuff like this that you don't think about with parks. That's why I'm doing this podcast.
Exactly. Right.
Nuggets, you know?
Someone's, you know, I mean, a lot of people, they either think yurt and they go, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
Or they think yurt and they go, no, I'm an RV park.
Yeah.
And it's like, no. You're a place where people spend the night.
Yes.
Now, yeah, right now, your market is an RV, someone who owns that or mm-hmm. likes to rent an RV.
Yeah.
But hey, there's more out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. So what about like on the monthly side? Do you ever have, is there use cases where you're at a park and like a monthly lease would make sense? Or is that kind of weird or what?
I don't think it's weird at all. I mean, so once our products are built and I mean, depending on features and you know, you get your platform built, any utilities on the inside, you could be all in on the project on the low end at like 35, 40 grand and on the high end, 60 to 75.
Okay.
But once that's there, you're done. Like
yeah.
you've got an asset. that really the structure's going to last you a lifetime.
So you don't have a problem with like getting mold with mildew or anything like that when it's a rainy region or anything?
No, that's what's great. I mean, we are sitting, our yurts are sitting in pretty much every climate all over the world.
Yeah.
You know, South America, we're in Florida, California, mountains. We have people living in them. My favorite quote is someone in the northern Yukon says, ah, there it was, negative 45 outside, and I'm wearing a t-shirt opening the window up. And I'm just like, wait, what?
Yeah.
But yeah, they cooked
out of
it.
They're insulated well.
They're insulated well. I also think he overbought on his stove, but yeah, that's just me.
Yep.
But all that to be said, if you have that built out for nightly rentals, but also for living,
yeah,
there's nothing wrong with renting that sucker out on a monthly rate or long term.
Yeah, because I'm just thinking out loud.
Like, yeah.
Like, would that be a thing, or would that be attractive to somebody? You know?
I think it would be. We have a few, I won't name names, but clients that are evaluating on, I'm blanking on the term, but where essentially it's a long-term lease where someone's living there.
Right.
But it's not there. It's like a timeshare thing where they're there.
Yeah, yeah.
But someone else owns it and they're trying to do some profit sharing. And to me, that makes a lot of sense. But
yeah, for sure. I've definitely seen that in some parks. So are you seeing, like, say, like the last 5 years or so, are you seeing like any kind of shifts in demands or things that you're seeing? Like want the restrooms have to be in there or they could be outside or just
demands? Good question. Good question. So, I mean, for sure in this industry, having a bathroom or some sort of kitchenette inside, that's been a
Nobody wants to walk outside. Like, oh, I'm going to get bit by a snake.
Yeah. Like, oh, it's dark, it's creepy, or I drank too much and I don't want to stumble to the bathroom. Yep. Wherever it is, they want it on the inside.
Yeah, I just rolled my ankle, ruined my trip.
Exactly. So I think having those units inside makes perfect sense. And we all have been talking about it, I think, for a while. Yeah. So, I mean, a big kind of shift, at least specifically with yurts, is what we're hearing more and have been for years is operators want as much of a turnkey solution as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And historically, with our product, you could buy the yurt, but that meant you also had to get a platform built. You had to figure out the bathroom or the kitchen inside, and we actually are in the process. Yeah, and we've gathered partners where we're turning ourselves into just that. So we're partnering with a Flat Spot who's here actually. We have another partner that does our kitchen and bathrooms, and we have a full system that it's, we come out, we install the yurt, we set it up, and it's ready to go.
Package.
Yeah.
When can we rent it out?
Exactly. I'm burning cash right now.
Yeah, please.
When can I get someone in here?
Yeah. I already pre-reserved it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But I'd say one other that I'm seeing is I feel like there was this big
boom. I wanted to ask about hot tubs.
Oh, you want to talk about hot tubs?
Yeah.
I love it. No, for sure. People put them in all the time.
Yeah, because I was thinking, because you're creating the experience, and then like they're on a deck platform anyway, so a lot of times they have a deck where you have a couple chairs, you know, so...
Yeah.
Do they often see where people like end up with hot tubs on it, like built into the decks?
100%. All right, but I'll even give you one better. Is we see hot tubs in the yurts quite often too. People just build it into the platform, put it in there. Yeah.
So that's just kind of off the side, but you still have your bed and kitchenette.
Exactly. Little hot tub room.
It's like a 30, like maybe a bigger one.
The
like
30 foot. Yeah. Yeah. So 24 to 30.
You have your hot tub section, but you still got your bedroom and restroom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone's different, right?
I would like that.
I would love that.
Yeah. Do you know any of those in North Texas?
Not that I know of, but I'll look for you. We've got on our website, I got to say, because it's a podcast, www.yurts.com.
Okay.
On that page, we have super easy. We have our yurts vacation page, which has, I'd say, about 20 to 30% of our clientele base in the more commercial side, where they have their sites posted, so you can search regionally and find our yurts.
Nice. So you showed them off too.
Yeah.
Broadcast them. That's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's a big thing for all you RV park owners out there. That's a big thing that we do. We're really focused on customer service. Like, we not only want you happy with your product, but we really want the clients happy with it too. Like, or your clients. So
for sure,
we want to advertise it, put it out there, share reviews, all that kind of stuff.
Awesome. Yeah, I think that's very smart business practices. And it shows that you give a shit.
Exactly.
About what you're doing. So
yeah.
You got
to turn and burn.
If you got a good product and you care about it, then that's usually a good recipe.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's awesome. Well, I appreciate your time. I know we're in the middle of a conference, so we're going to keep this kind of short.
Yeah, right on, man.
Thanks for coming over. I know Josh.
Of course, Jason.
Joe Gilbert said, come over here, Mr. Yurt Man.
he did. I give him some credit for that. He was on a dog on a bone. It was perfect.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. Well, happy to do it again anytime. We'd love to share. For anybody out there listening, hit me up. We'd love to chat and answer any questions you have.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Get yurting, everybody. All right. Bye-bye.